It's the Code AFL show. Josh Barnes is here with Ed Burke and Jay Clark, and we're going to get straight into it. Jay, we're starting, seemingly as we always do these days, with Essendon. A big story from Scotty Gallen this week that Dean Solomon is the preferred candidate of Andrew Welsh. We've already had some issues with the process and James Hurd sort of overrunning it. Now Dean Solomon seems to be overrunning it. What's going on at Essendon? What's the latest?
Yeah, fascinating situation. Great story from Scotty G. So he's basically said that the president's best mate, or one of them, is the front runner for the Essendon job. If he is the preferred candidate, then he must be the front runner for the Bombers job. Now, I would like to think that Essendon fans would want there to be more of a process than a captain's pick of a best mate. So I think Solly, has got to work some magic over the back half of the season. He's got to put performances on the field that would suggest that he should be the man to take it over full time. I think they're going to have to run some sort of proper process with a number of candidates. I think Hurdy's still waiting by his phone. I don't think he's got the call yet. So that still hasn't happened. But if Dean Solomon is the front runner for that gig, you think he's still got a bit of work to do.
Yeah, it's a small sample size, but they're averaging 57 points a game under Solomon in three games. That's worse than Richmond for the lowest in the entire league, if that was over the whole season. So they've been not very good under him. The five-point loss they had last week is the closest of his six losses as an interim coach going back to Gold Coast as well. The only time it's less than five goals. He doesn't have a great track record. Why would Essendon pick him?
Is it Gold Coast weren't that high scoring under him either, although the wheels had really fallen off at that point in the Suns season when he was caretaker coach. It looks like it has been a stem the bleeding approach to kind of picking up Essendon. They're trying to work on that defence of the whole ground. And it's probably made the games that they've played in look a little dour and a little slow moving so far. There was a bit of that flavour under Brad Scott just before the end of his tenure as well. And it's how they beat Melbourne in gather round. So I think we'll expect more of that from Essendon until the end of the season. But playing that brand of footy, it isn't the best audition for the job, you would have thought.
I think Essendon be looking at a more of a structural piece with its coaching search. Like when Brad Scott was in charge, he was very much, it was an autocratic structure. He was the big dog, wasn't he? I think in terms of this next coach, they'd be looking broadly at a coaching group. So it's like, right, if Solomon's the man or someone's the man, can they bring in Ken Hinckley above or to assist as a director? Then can they go and get the best emerging senior assistant like a Corey Enright or a Jamie Graham? I think they'd be looking at a flatter structure and more of a triumvirate or more a beefed up group rather than just one man. So I don't think they'll be looking at this as sort of a single person. They'll be looking at more as a broad spectrum and who are the people they can bring in broadly to help lead this footy team up the ladder, because there's still a couple of years to go, isn't it? I mean, this is not going to turn around overnight. So it still could be a difficult two or three years ahead. I mean, the Sullivan Robies and Dyson Sharps, once they've played 60, 70 games, that's when we can see more uplift. And under the Hawthorn model, Sam Mitchell had Route 66, a 66 game plan. So three seasons away, potentially.
If they have to do all that work around a new senior coach, is that denigrating him as a coach from the outset?
As in Solomon?
Yeah.
No, I just think it's recognition that in the AFL these days, it's silly to think that one man's going to fix all your problems. I think we see there's so much resource and support need across an AFL club. So I think they'd be looking at the experience. I mean, under Brad Scott, who were the assistants? Daniel Jan Syracuse left.
Yeah.
And then they had to get someone from their board in Solomon. And then Ben Jacobs, still relatively new, although Brad Scott was a big fan. So I think they need more experience and acumen, generally speaking, across that whole group.
You said some Essendon fans would want a process. Otherwise, we're just going to get a captain's pick, which we could be headed there anyway. Why do you think they need something like a process if they may have already made up their mind?
Well, I think they need to compare some candidates. So I think James Hurd is someone that the Essendon Football Club really should speak to, because, I think the theory is because he hasn't coached his own team in such a long time, he's a bit out of the game. We'll go down and sit down and speak to him, I think, get a thorough understanding of what his motivations are, where he's at, what his plans would be, who he would bring. And then, can you speak and get in front of a John Longmire as well and the best young assistant coaches? Like, I think you need a really broad and deep understanding of who is available, who is out there. And that's essentially what we're seeing the process Carlton run through. They're trying to gather the six to eight best sort of coaching candidates, and they'll be trying to get a thorough understanding of what they think, how they operate, who is the next Craig McRae. So Essendon, though, does seem like I don't know. I just don't know that anyone's really confident about what's going to happen in the red and black situation.
I would question whether they had a full understanding of who was actually out there when they replaced Jan Siracusa. It seemed like it was a bit like, oh, well, we'll just have to move Dan Solomon off the board, get him to coach again. I think they already had a bit of an eye to what could happen during the season.
Was it an act of desperation? Or did you think that Andrew Welsh might have thought that even back then he could be the senior coach?
I think maybe that they didn't look as hard for a senior assistant from around the traps as they
went the easy route.
Well, potentially, but maybe they just thought Dan Solomon's ready to return to coaching. It'd be great to have him on the panel.
He's a very popular figure inside that footy club.
Yeah, so you mentioned Carlton, which is an interesting comparison. They dumped their coach basically 2 weeks beforehand. They're winning now, and then things are looking a lot brighter at Carlton, and there's no noise coming out of there at all at the moment, even though they're supposedly 2 weeks ahead in their process. We're not hearing a thing out of Carlton. So what does this say about Essendon that we're still talking about and we're still questioning? We're talking about a potentially shambolic process that hasn't even begun yet. Well, where's this club at?
Well, I think we're just waiting for some more clarity. So Carlton have provided some information around what they're doing. So we've got a line of sight there, but I don't really think we have they haven't come forward with any of that information, and that could really happen over the next 7 days. They could be providing more information about their process. So we all look forward to that. And, it's going to be interesting to see what route they go down, particularly in regards to John Longmire, who's seemingly sitting out one back at this point.
Yeah, I'd be cautious with the Essendon one. Just, as you said, it's 2 years probably of losing at least before you start ticking up, and that's where you've got to be worried if you're the coach. If you go, 5-35 in your first two seasons, then you might not survive.
So now flip it to, would Essendon appeal, do you think, to John Longmire? We know he's on one eye on the Tassie job as well, with potentially some of the politics that everyone talks about. You know, would the Bombers job appeal to him, do you think, up to both of you?
I wouldn't imagine it would appeal to a retread coach, if that makes sense. You're probably going back thinking, A, the Tasmania one's going to turn very quickly, or you can turn a club very quickly. I just don't see how you can turn Essendon that quickly. And you're not probably playing finals for 2-3 years. So it's a long, long road when you've already done it before.
I think Tassie is still potentially a longer road. I don't know if it's going to be as easy as the jump that we saw GWS have after 4 years. Don't know if it's going to be as quick as that.
The AFL wants the quick jump. The AFL wants them to be more competitive. Whether they can or not will be interesting.
Yeah. From one powerhouse to another, let's look at Collingwood, another great Scotty Gullen story last week about where they're at, where their list build is at. What was your big takeaway from that, Jane? Where do you think Collingwood's at?
Oh, look, I just find the situation around Nick Dacos and the list really interesting. So we know that they're really keen on Lachie Neale and potentially looking at their key forward options as well. Collingwood need to be competitive while Nick Dacos is there. If they're not, if they are bottom four team and are looking at rebuilding, I just don't think that Nick Dacos would be keen on staying. And that deal is going to expire in a couple of years. So I think while Nick Dacos is there, they need to be staying in the premiership window. And I think Collingwood feel like the big club they are, they can continue to attract the free agents and potentially the other mature age players that can help. Be a Geelong, essentially, and keep them up there without having to go back down. Because once you do go back down, it can take a long time to come up, and we've seen that. So I reckon the Magpies would be looking at that route and just thinking, we don't want to do that. So Nick Dacos, I think, is pretty central to it all, because Tasmania is one club and others, you know, was it a Gold Coast? Would it be a Hawthorn? Would try and knock on that door.
So you think a guy with obviously the stature and the name who's already won a premiership would get feet that itchy if Collingwood starts falling out of the flag window?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Nick is an incredibly competitive person who wants to have team success and win premierships. He's arguably the best player in the comp, or certainly one of the top couple. I mean, if Collingwood are going to rebuild from the situation they're at, how long does that wipe him out for? These are the prime years of his career. I don't think he's going into Justin Lepich's office and saying, hey, we should hit the draft for the next four or 5 years.
Yeah.
He's saying, how do we get Zach Butters? How do we get Matt Rowe? So if you miss out on the Zach Butters sweepstakes, does that put you in a really strong position to go for Rowe next year if the Suns continue to struggle? So I think Dacos wants to win games and win flags.
Is that realistic, Ed? I mean, he could play for 20 years and everyone wants to be Joel Selwyn and be in flag contention for 15, 16 years, but it's not that possible at most clubs to stay up for that long. He has to have some patience, doesn't he?
Not sure. I think the one thing I would be thinking if I was him looking at their list builders, well, they can get Lachie Neale or they can go for Matt Rowe a year after, but if they don't get a quality key forward in the next year or two, then I don't think things can really turn for them. So they really need to make sure they do get Ben King or get Joel Amati or Hayden McLean from Sydney I feel like on that front, they have to be really proactive.
I think they're a club who can have it both ways. They can keep their top draft picks, as Craig Kelly's been saying, and appeal to the free agents. Yeah. So then you sort of get both licks of that ice cream. And that's what we've seen Geelong do in recent years as well.
Yeah, they have to be in that free agent market because, as Scotty wrote, they don't have anything to trade, really. Especially if they're holding that first round pick, then they don't have really anything to give up if those mystical theories about Jed Walter are there, because Suns aren't going to accept anything less than high picks for him.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know how the Walter thing works at Collingwood, because they've been so adamant, we're going to keep our picks. Well, he's going to cost them at least one early one. So is it more Joel Amati or someone like that who's a free agent they can get for nothing?
Yeah, huge game for them against Port this weekend. Where are they at this year, Jay, do you think? Can they give it a shake in the top 10? Are they just a middle of the road side?
It's fascinating. I mean, they've certainly shown against some of the quality teams that can still be competitive, but it relies heavily on that defense. They're not a high scoring team. They need to suffocate other teams, and against the best sides, you know, early in their season, they can. I think broadly speaking, I mean, I didn't have them in the top 10 at the start of the year. I had St Kilda ahead of them. So I didn't have high expectations for them, but you know, on their day, Dacos takes over with Degoe, you know, Pendlebury still clearly there. They need Darcy Moore back.
Yeah,
he's so crucial. We know Maynard's out. They've had troubles with their injuries in that regard. So Darcy Moore, who hasn't finished top 10 in their best and fairest for a couple of years now, he's just absolutely crucial for them to be competitive. But I still give them an outside chance to be able to win a final or two.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're probably about where we thought they'd be.
Yep.
We love new segments on the Code AFL show, and we've got a new one here because at Code Sports this week we're calling out BS in sport all over the place, and I'm going to call some BS. Let us know yours, codesports.com.au, to call some. I'm going to start us off, fellas. How on earth were the umpires wearing blue in the North Melbourne West Coast game on the weekend? Makes zero sense. I thought, oh, this is just a one-time stuff-up. I looked it up on the weekend. In March 2023, there were complaints about North Melbourne West Coast game where the umpires wore blue and they did the exact same thing, exact same outfits, exact same again. I don't know how this is possible. I don't know how you do that. I don't know where the red tops have gone for the umpires. So I'm calling BS on that.
Did they look at the fixture and go West Coast home game and invent some kit that North Melbourne was going to be wearing, not realising that it was a North Melbourne hosting situation?
Yeah, well, clearly they couldn't wear the lime green or the yellow because the West Coast were in yellow. So they couldn't clash there. But they used to have a lot of different colours back
like
in the day.
Like a pink or a mauve one that they can wear?
Yeah. I don't know.
Someone has made a lot of fashion mistakes myself. I understand. I've got a bit of empathy with the umpires. Maybe someone's just had a mare that day.
Yeah.
Maybe they got lost in the wash.
Yeah. Any BS from you, Ed, from the weekend?
Yes, I am calling it. I'm not sure if this is quite how the segment works, obviously.
Well, we're working through it. That's
but
a good start.
I am calling BS on Carlton's wildcard round chances.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry to Blues fans. I do think they'll get handed a reality check against GWS this week. The Giants will have steam coming out of their ears after failing to get it done on Sunday afternoon. And I think home game for them, Carlton coming off the bye, it's going to be really difficult for the Blues. They've got a pretty tough run home and there's a bit of quality around them. I'd back a team like St Kilda to make the 10. I'd even back North Melbourne who've got a slightly easier run, I reckon.
I agree with you there, Ed. I call BS on clubs and senior coaches saying, we definitely will not trade such and such a player.
Yeah.
You know, Damien Hardwick says, we definitely are not trading Jed Walter or Bailey Humphrey while I'm as coach. Well, having gone through the Brad Scott experience with Zach Merritt, so this time last year, he was apoplectic about the whole trade stories you're writing, and will Zach Merritt go? He was going crazy about that. And then he goes on TV and says, oh, no, guess what? I wanted to punt him too. Carl, come on, Brad. So I call BS on coaches saying we definitely don't want to get rid of them because I think the reality at times can be a little bit different.
You bring a lot to the table, Jane. You bring great segues. That's a perfect one for us to talk about Gold Coast next and Bailey Humphrey and all that jazz.
There you go.
The Suns in our run home, which will be live on Code Sports as you watch this. Chris Kavanagh has them missing the top 10 this year, sliding at not playing finals, even an expanded one. They were at 7-6 in Hardwick's first year in 2024, 8-5 last year, and they're at 7-6 again. So they don't seem to be improving. Bailey Humphrey is probably going to make noise about leaving. Ben King still hasn't signed on. Jed Walter, we don't know what's going on with him. Jay, what's going on with the Suns?
Yeah, I mean, they've been hugely disappointing, haven't they? And their midfield has been extraordinary, the decline. I mean, you look at the names on paper, Raoul, Anderson and Petrarca, 18th for clearance differential. I mean, it's been a really poor performance. And it's almost Tigers 2016. So Hardwick's the right man for the job. He's been there. They face a crossroads, really. And how flat would the AFL be? They've won one final in 16 years. They finally get a list together that looks like can have, you know, genuinely contend or potentially go all the other way. and they cough and splutter their way all throughout this season. So it's been really disappointing. The cohesion, the symmetry through the midfield's a problem. And he said, you know, 80% of our premiership list is here. Well, what if they start walking out? King, etc., Bailey Humphrey, you mentioned, looks like he wants to get out. He's playing poorly, maybe gets dropped to the VFL. And as I said, Matt Rowell is the big worry for next year. He did the tour of the clubs last year. It was a close call for him. You know, Western Bulldogs, Collingwood, Richmond. So as I said, if you miss the butter sweepstakes, maybe you go, you definitely go for Rowell next year. And if some of these big names walk out, then that would be a shattering blow for the Gold Coast Suns. We're hearing that, you know, Ben King's still more likely to stay, but he's a huge worry. They need to get it done on the field, and I think Dimmer needs to stop having a crack at the umpires, because that's not in his top 100 problems. You know, get your own backyard right, I reckon.
Oh, yeah, even the players on the field were a bit too visibly hung up on the umpiring in that game against Geelong. You see Noah Anderson
in particular was struggling with the umpires, I thought, on Friday night. His overreactions, I think, towards the umpires quite regularly. Probably needs to have a look at that, I think. And Bailey Humphrey, Ed, what's going on with him? We thought he was a star on the rise, and he's flatlining at the moment.
I think part of it might be that his midfield minutes have been significantly reduced by Christian Petrarca coming up, and the balance of that midfield means he can't go in there as much. But there also must be an element of the burden of expectation now that he's being linked to these trades. He met with clubs last year, got sprung meeting with Melbourne. It seems like maybe he hasn't been able to cope with that spotlight as much so far this season.
One of the more bizarre situations. I rang his manager that morning. I'm still haunted
still
by this story.
Night,
it does still get me up. He's definitely not going to meet the other clubs. He's not going anywhere. Spoke to Gold Coast Craig Cameron. He said, he's staying locked in. And then literally within 3 hours,
he's the debrief it was.
10. And then so I called, what? Just have you seen this photo? So it still haunts me. Quite confusing. So, a bit of mixed messages there. I would think he's almost certain to return home to Victoria next year. I think there's some, you know, he wants to be closer to family, and he's certainly playing like it. I think Hawthorn is a front runner there.
Yep.
They want Merritt as well. But we also see, you know, they're still sniffing around Ben King. How they can get those three deals done without giving up anything is curious to me. So Mark McKenzie and Sam Mitchell have to work some magic to get all those done.
Yeah, and I'm the D's as well regarding Bailey Humphrey still, because they drafted his best mate, Tom Matthews, who actually looks pretty handy and has been playing well in the VFL.
And always the D's, in terms of destination clubs, how appealing is Melbourne at the moment? They haven't got a great training base, which continues to be a problem for them, but they play an exciting game style. Stephen King looks a terrific young coach. Imagine playing with Cozzy Pickett. Well, Melbourne ticking a lot of boxes at the moment.
I think it'd be a fantastic fit at Melbourne. I'm not sure the fit's there at Hawthorn. They have similar forward mid tights, but at Melbourne, he'd slot in playing next to Cozzy excellently.
Well, that's a question. What is he? Is he a midfielder? Is he a forward?
Yeah.
It's a difficult position, half forward. And unless you're producing goals consistently or big possession tallies, you can get can be starvation corner at times.
Yeah, and Petrarca sort of took that mid-forward spot almost off him. Now he's seeing no set of bounce time basically at all, Bailey. So he's on the outside looking in there. We'll leave it there, gents. But don't forget, Jay, if you want to read all your fantastic content, we've got an end of financial year sale right now on Code Sports. You can get 12 months for just $19. That is an absolute bargain when you're reading The Tackle on a Monday morning every week. Can't get any better than that. There will be a link on the show notes to take the most of that deal. Read some of Ed's stuff as well. Make sure you're watching the Integrity Unit as well.
Yes.
It's value for money to the nth degree on Code Sports. So stick around and make sure you're reading on all our stuff.